Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Stephen Silver, 46 years old, from Foxford in County Mayo, was yesterday found guilty of the capital murder of Detective Garda Colm Horkin. On the 17th of June 2020, Garda were called after Silver and a friend had been driving a motorbike erratically around a housing estate, and Silver had been heard shouting and roaring in the area. Now, shortly before midnight, as the two men walked towards the town centre of Castlerea, Detective Garda Horkin, who'd been on duty since 2 p.m, pulled his unmarked car in alongside them. They spoke through the window and Garda Horkin got out of the car. Silver claimed he didn't recognise the driver as a Garda because he was wearing a Tommy Hilfiger jacket. The two men grappled and struggled for Garda Horkin's gun, and Silver admitted shooting him. He said he struck him with the butt of the gun as he fell to the ground and shot him several times again. Despite efforts by colleagues to revive him, Garda Horkin died from his injuries. He had been shot 11 times. Now, tributes have been paid to Colm Horkin since the verdict arrived yesterday. A hero, a professional, a true gentleman. And I'm joined on the line by retired Garda Sergeant John Hines. John, thanks for speaking to us.
Good morning, Claire. You're very welcome.
Colm was a close friend of yours, wasn't he?
Colm was an exceptionally close friend of mine, Claire. We all have friends. We have close friends. And I think it's fair to say and true to say that we have an inner circle of friends. And I have or had an inner circle of friends of three people, and Colm was one of those friends.
And you worked very closely together. That's where that friendship started, is it?
Yes. In 1999, Colm came to Castlerea. He had served, I think, 3.5 years in Finglas, and he was put onto my unit. I was the sergeant in charge of that unit. And I knew from the very start I got a very, very good member. His attention to detail and every single thing he did was very obvious. He was so polite, so well-mannered. His dealings with the public was very, very obvious from the very, very start that was being done in such a professional manner. And I was just so, so lucky that he had come onto my unit. We worked together for a long, long number of years. Especially in the investigation of rape and child sexual abuse cases.
Very, very difficult cases, which I'm sure brought you closer together.
Yes, they certainly did. I mean, we would spend a long, long time together investigating them first. I mean, maybe, you know, months, years at a time investigating the number that we were investigating because of the high level being reported to us. And then we would spend a lot of time in court together, and usually those cases were dealt with in the Central Criminal Court in Dublin. So we lived in each other's ear, I suppose, for a long, long time, got to know each other very, very well, but always got on exceptionally well, both as friends and in the job.
So yesterday then, I mean, it took a long time for this case to come to this point where the verdict was handed down yesterday. How was that for you, John?
Well, it has been very, very difficult. It has been very, very difficult for everybody, but I mean, especially for Colm's family. And, you know, yesterday was certainly about Colm. It's about his family and his close friends and the Garda investigation team that investigated it. And, you know, Colm is gone. It won't bring Colm back, but will certainly bring closure. And especially with the verdict that the jury brought back yesterday, it certainly will help ease the pain somewhat and help us all, I suppose, to get on with our lives now and remember Colm in the loving, caring way that we will always remember him and always thought of him.
You were there in court yesterday, I know, but you had left to catch the train home before the verdict was handed down.
Yes, I was so disappointed that I wasn't there because I did expect the verdict early enough yesterday. And we were there at 2 o'clock when Justice Burns assembled everybody again, and we all did expect her at that stage because the jury had been out since the morning before to bring the jury back and speak to them. And she decided that she would let them get on with their work and that she wouldn't interrupt them. And she did say that she would bring them back at 4 o'clock if she didn't hear from them prior to that. and she would speak to him at that stage. And she left it at that, and she left the bench. And I did. I had a train to catch then at 3:15. Had there been any indication that a verdict was imminent or anything like that, I would certainly have waited. But that's just the way it turned out. And I was actually on the train at about 3:45 when I got a message to say a great verdict. And I knew straight away that it had been one of capital murder, just with the message that I received. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it didn't sink in then, Claire. You're getting a lot of messages then, and I was on the train. You can't speak to anybody, or you can't have a conversation. And it was really only when I got home and saw the news and saw Cullum's photographs on the news that it really sank in. And I became very emotional. And I suppose everybody did, you know, that was so closely connected with the man he was, you know.
Yeah, and the statement from his family and the dignity that they showed to outside the court.
Oh, I watched that, and I mean, Brendan gave the eulogy at Cullum's funeral as well, and did an absolutely marvellous job of it. And you know, to start off yesterday by passing the comment, he was the best of us. I thought, what a tribute to his brother. And you know, he said that he was the rock of the family, and he was the glue that kept them all together and everything. And I know exactly where Brendan was coming from there, knowing Cullum so well, because Cullum didn't do things in half measure at all. I mean, Cullum was one of a kind. The kind of person that comes along once in a lifetime. And I certainly will never, ever, ever meet anyone again like him again. And I could certainly resume with what Brendan said yesterday and the lovely comments he passed about him.
I just want to go back again to that work that you described doing, the really difficult work, John, with Cullum, which would have involved interviewing children about awful abuse. And it takes a certain type of guard, I would imagine, to be able to do that work.
Yes, it does. And, you know, we didn't receive any special training or anything like that. There's specifically trained guards now to do all that kind of work, but there wasn't at that time when we started. I suppose I think for the last 15 years of my service, I was involved mainly in the investigation of rape and child sexual abuse cases, and there were many of them, and Cullum was involved, I think, in every single arrest and interview that we carried out. And he was then involved in the court process, but not everybody wants to do it, and but somebody has to do it. But I won't say I enjoyed it, but I knew that the job had to be done. These people were coming to you. You know, they were after suffering maybe years and years of abuse, and they needed somebody to do something on their behalf and to obtain justice for them. So that was the driving force, certainly, for both myself and Cullum. And, you know, we're not just the only two people that are investigating these cases, but guards all over the country investigating these. But, you know, we developed our own way of doing things, which were very, very successful. And thank God we had a lot of success in that regard.
And then the events of the night that Cullum died, as I set out there earlier, up until that confrontation began, that was a typical description of the everyday role the Gardaí have up and down this country, protecting the public. And that's what he was doing, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, guards in their work, people say it's a very dangerous job, and I wouldn't have your job for anything like that, but it is your job, and you don't be thinking of the dangers or anything like that. You know, the call that went out that night was that there was a motorcycle doing burnouts and driving without its lights on, being driven very dangerously by people in the Knockrow estate. And Cullum was in the station when he heard that call, and he went out, as did the patrol car, which was further away from the station, and they both went to that area, and when they got there, they didn't see anything, absolutely nothing. Everything was okay. And they reported that back to the station. And Cullum made his way then down across New Road and up Patrick Street. And at the junction of Patrick Street and Main Street, he encountered Stephen Silver and another person. And I think we all know what happened then. It's very well publicised and documented. And poor Cullum lost his life in that confrontation.
Just going back to your friendship, John, I know you told our colleague Sinead Hussey in the newsroom that your children idolised Cullum. Will you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, as I said, Cullum was a very close friend of mine, and he spent a lot of time in our house on and off. And our children were small when we were involved in those investigations, when we were working very closely together, and the absolute light lies them. He called to our house. He was very, very good with children and everything, and I'll never forget the morning, Claire, that Colm was murdered. I got the news at about 1:15 in the morning, and then at 7 o'clock in the morning, my eldest son, who works and lives in England, he rang me and asked me, did I hear that there had been a shooting in Castlereagh? And I said, I did. And he said, do you know who it is? And I said, I do. I said, it's Colm. And he paused for a moment, and then he said, and how is he? And I had to tell him that he had been shot dead. And for the next 2 minutes, I will never, ever forget, and I'll bring to the grave with me what I was listening to on the phone, just that very, very heavy, incessant crying. You know, where Niall was unable to speak to me or anything, just grief overtook him there and then. And our other two children as well, as they found out, they were absolutely heartbroken. And as soon as they found out in different ways yesterday, the result and the verdict, each and every one of them, the first thing they did was ring me. And they were absolutely thrilled and delighted that justice had been achieved for Colm. And, you know, I suppose they were all worried about me, really, the way the reaction on the phone and everything like that. But all those things help. And it's great to have your family around you at times like that. And, you know, they give you strength as well, and they certainly did at the time, at the actual time of the shooting. They were marvellous, helped to us all, you know.
Just listening to you, it just reminds you of the impact, there's the ripple effect of the impact of something like this on so many people, you know, from his immediate family out to you, out to your family and so on, and their concern for you about how you were going to respond to that verdict yesterday. And what did it mean to you? What did that guilty verdict mean to you?
Well, it just meant that justice had been achieved for Colm Horcan, because knowing the man Colm Horcan was and the way that he dealt with things in Ungard Síochána himself, I mean, he did everything. He was a perfectionist, you know. And every single thing he did, his attention to detail in criminal investigations was absolutely exemplary. And had he been involved in that investigation yesterday, my God, I mean, the work he would have put in, and he'd have left no one stone unturned to achieve what the investigation team did achieve yesterday. And, you know, it's so ironic as well, Claire, you know, when I heard what court this trial was being held in. It was the same court as a very, very serious criminal investigation that we investigated took place in, one of the more serious that we investigated. And, you know, who would have ever thought we were there for approximately 3 to 4 weeks with that other trial, and who would have thought that we'd be back so many years later with Colm's own trial taking place there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it achieved justice for Colm Horcan himself and for his family. And it's also meant, you know, that people who carry out atrocities like this, regardless of what the circumstances are, there is repercussions for them, mm-hmm. You know, and that they're not going to get away with it. And that came through yesterday. You know, we all know the background of Mr. Silver and everything. And, you know, justice was achieved for Colm, you know, given the facts of the case and where the defence were coming from and everything like that, that there is justice. And you know, I think if the jury had brought back any other verdict, it would have been an absolute travesty.
I also want to mention the fact that Detective Garda Adrian Donoghue, who was also shot dead in the line of duty, was in the same class as Colm, wasn't he? And in the same phase in Templemore, you had Garda Owen Fitzgerald, Garda Ambrose Fogarty, who were killed on duty in separate road traffic collisions in 1998 and 1999. It's incredible, really, to think of that, isn't it?
It is, out of the one class. I mean, yeah. There's four of them gone, all killed in the course of their duty. And, you know, Adrian Donoghue, I think he was only three numbers from Cullum, like, you know what I mean? There was only three spaces between them. And, you know, capital murder convictions have now been achieved in both cases, which is absolutely a wonderful outcome. But, yeah, we're all thinking of Adrian and his wife and the other two members as well.
I know, John, you've touched on this, but I know you want to mention and thank the investigating team on this case as well.
I do, Claire, and you know, I'd like to thank the, you know, Superintendent Tom Colch and Detective Inspector John Costello and Detective Sergeant Eric Godfrey and their team, and they put together an absolutely airtight case. And it needed to be clear because, you know, any flaws would certainly have been exposed by Mr. Silver's legal team. But there were no such flaws, and they're to be congratulated and commended for the marvellous, marvellous work they did in achieving what they achieved yesterday. Mm-hmm. And you saw the solidarity with a whole lot of them around the Harkin family yesterday. And that's what yesterday was about, getting justice for Cullum. And you know, we all saw it displayed on the news last night. And as well, Claire, I just want to pay tribute and say a very special thank you to the jury themselves, like, you know, to thank them for the attentiveness throughout the trial. I was there on several days, and it was very obvious the great care and attention that they gave to each and every witness that came before them and to their deliberations. I mean, they spent approximately 9 hours before finally reaching a verdict, and by doing so, they certainly gave justice to Cullum's family and everyone in society, really and truly. So they are to be commended as well.
Well, John, we're so grateful to you for talking to us. I know it's a difficult day, but you've paid wonderful tribute to Cullum Horkin and to his family, and we're very grateful that you spoke to us and that you did that today. So many thanks to you.
Thank you, Claire. May he rest in peace.
Indeed. And we're thinking of his family and his friends today. John Hines, retired Garda Sergeant.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.